Praise the Lord. I am so excited to share with you today. Now, I have to confess, I do not have a Father's Day message. I am not sorry because I felt the Lord's direction go in a different way for this morning. And so I don't apologize for not having a Father's Day message. In fact, I even thought, Lord, why would you have me speak on this on Father's Day when people are coming expecting a Father's Day message? And then, of course, you have people that come in that are hurting, people that need some words of encouragement. You've got people coming in that just need to be ministered to. And the Lord said, no, I want you. And I really felt like the Lord had me say, heard him say, go ahead and speak this. Now listen, don't be calling me Biden just because I stutter some once in a while, okay? Somebody called me Biden the other day because I said I was going to do something. They said, well, you won't be able to remember it. So, thank you, Alex. We're gonna say I'm a man of God. I have perfect recall. I have a great mind. I will never, never have dementia or Alzheimer's. In Jesus' name. Nor cancer. Amen. I'll never lose a kidney. Amen. I might lose weight. Yeah. I might lose some weight. So I want us to turn this morning to the book of Luke, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. And you can open your Bible and follow along. I'm going to be reading from the old-fashioned King James Version today. And you can follow it on the screen. By the way, I thank God for our tech guys around Solid Rock. I so appreciate it. I got a call. Yeah, give them a good hand. Come on. This is for Mr. Nick. I got a message from a pastor just 2 or 3 days ago, and they said, I love your website. You guys do such an awesome job on your website. I said, who did you hire, and who do you pay, and which company does your website? And I said, oh, we just do it in-house like everything else. And thank God for Nick, who can do just whatever we need. And Gabe helps a lot. Brother Chris Norman helps a lot. I thank God for all the IT technical guys that we have here. And you know what? You may not be an IT guy, but you might be a plumber. Thank God we got plumbers at Solid Rock. You will really thank God when those toilets back up that we have plumbers. And thank God we have electricians. We now have 2 mini splits in the back room. Well, actually 3 heads, right? Is that right? 3 heads? Yeah. I can't see. 2? Okay. 2 heads, but we have another one coming, right? For Kids Rock, but now they're in the loft, and the loft is staying nice and cool, and those were donated to us for a little bit of labor. We were told if we would help build a deck that they would give those to us, and so we thank God for favor. That's the favor of the Lord. Amen. Have y'all learned to say that this week? Have you experienced the favor of the Lord? Did you one time say, that's the favor of the Lord this last week? Amen, amen. All right, Luke chapter 17, thank you for your undivided attention. We declare that there will be no distractions, there will be no phone calls, no text messages. We're going to follow in the Word of God today, and let's just see if we can't learn something today. Again, this is not a Father's Day message, okay? That's the disclaimer for today. Then, did I say verses 1 through 4? Verses 1 through 4. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Offenses are going to come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, I used to think that was children, but it's not children. It's young believers. It's anybody that, you know, if you're a child of God, you're a young'un, right? And so it's not just for children. It's little ones, or especially those that have been fairly new in their walk with the Lord. And we shouldn't be offending them and all that stuff. Okay, take heed to yourselves. If your brother, everybody say brother, trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you, what? 7 times in a, woo. If he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn to you and say, I repent, then thou shalt forgive him 7 times in a day. Amen. Rhodes translation, okay? 7 times in a day. The apostles said, first thing they said was, God, increase our faith. They immediately knew it was going to take some faith to be able to forgive seven times a day. Increase my faith, Lord. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to share your word. I believe, God, you'll help me to speak your word correctly and accurately and clearly. I believe, God, that our ears will hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church today. God, may we stay sensitive to your Spirit today. We bind distractions and declare that the will of God will be done in this house today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, I might be okay on that first time when they say, I'm sorry. I might be able to say, you know what, I forgive you. How many knows that in a day's time, sometimes that's easy to do. The second time, it would take a little more grace for me to be able to say, okay, you're forgiven. But how many knows seven times by the same person in one day, you want to say, grow up, stop it. When are you gonna grow? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says seven times a day, you shall forgive him. Well, some of you are looking at me like, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, that's why we say, increase my faith, increase my faith. And so, and then Jesus says, he says this, he says, that sycamine tree, if you will speak to that sycamine tree, if you had faith as a grain, you would say to the tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be uprooted and be planted in the sea. So I want to talk today a little bit about some of the things that's going on in our lives. I'm going to get real down. Was that close and personal? Is that the way they say it? I'm going to get real close and personal with you today. You're not going to walk out of here wondering, what did the preacher mean by that today? It's going to be black and white. It's going to be plain English. And I believe we're going to receive the word of the Lord today. But I want us to go down into the root of the contamination of the things that are in our lives that's tormenting us, bothering us, and like this man here said a while ago, those things still come up every once in a while. I want to talk to you about how to pluck that junk out of you and get rid of it so that it won't even be a temptation anymore. Are you with me? Shout amen. Amen. So we're going to reach down inside of us. I want you to be open, transparent. I want you to get that x-ray machine right out in front of you, and I want you to see some of the things that's on the inside of us that's keeping us from receiving everything that God's got for us. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I come here this morning expecting a Father's Day message. I come in expecting a word to help me train my children, or I came in expecting a healing for my marriage, and I came in for, listen, everything that you have a need of today, I believe can be traced back to the roots that's growing on the inside of us. Can I hear an amen? So this is my Father's Day message. This is my Mother's Day message. In fact, this is my everyday message, my every believer. So let's take a minute here and talk about this today. What we need to understand is many of the things that are going on in our lives, the things that are happening, the things going on, come from the heart. Remember the book of Proverbs? It says, from the heart flow what? The issues of life. And so many of the things that are going on is not because of the outward things that's coming at you. It's because of the inward things that are going on the inside of us. Now, a lot of people get used to it. After a while, they say, well, I'll just live with it. How many know some people have it so long that they medicate it, or they alcohol it, or they drug it, or they'll do everything they can think of to get rid and to hide or to cover up, to camouflage the stuff that's on the inside of them. But listen, that's only covering, that's not pulling it out by the root. Somebody says, I don't like the way my marriage is. Then there's something going on in the root of man. I don't like the way my children. You know what? Listen, folks, we need to stop looking at everybody else and start doing an inward search and examining ourselves. That deserves a better amen. Amen. So we try to reduce the pain. We try to camouflage the pain. We try to cover the pain and make everybody think, well, we're really okay, when all the time we're still hurting deep down on the inside. Am I talking to anybody today? Yeah. Here, I wrote this down, and you all know this, but I wanted to say it again. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. And because you've got these hurts on the inside of you, whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred towards somebody, or just dislike, I want you to know that will cause you to hurt other people. You'll be thinking, well, I just don't like that about them. But no, it's something on the inside of you that comes up and displays or demonstrates itself in the manner of hurting other people. Amen? And do you know that we've got a lot of ways to camouflage our pain. A lot of ways. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning. And one of the ways is we have this attitude, well, I don't care. I'm going to build this wall up. They'll never hurt me again. If necessary, I'll just live on this little island by myself. Do you know that's not the way God created you to live? Thank you for your enthusiasm. God didn't create us to just to be an island unto ourselves. He wants us to be able to help other people, love other people, receive from other people, bless other people, let other people bless you. But when you build these walls up because of all the hurts, all the disappointments, all the pain, you say, well, that don't bother me. Bless God, I just won't pay any attention to them. But listen, there's something deep on the inside of us that needs to be uprooted. Are you listening? Okay, listen closely. We got to get this stuff out of us. I don't care. They're not going to make me mad again. I'll just stay away from them. Do you know that rage turns inward, and when it turns inward, we don't feel it outwardly, but it may be a source of the bad health that you have. It could be the source of the bad marriage that you have. It could be the source of can't get along with anybody. Hello? That rage turned inward will eventually come out in some form. Yes? Amen. It can affect your finances. It can affect your relationships. It can affect anything in life, you know, that you're enjoying or trying to enjoy. And what happens is most of the time we just withdraw. I can name some people right here today that when you get your feelings hurt, you withdraw. Or if you get up on the wrong side of the bed, you withdraw. If something didn't go your way, you withdraw. You know what? That's a sign that there's something on the inside of us that needs to be plucked out. A while ago when Darlene was talking about, man, she could have just went ahead and preached this morning. That was some good teaching that she did for just a moment about, you know, God didn't make man to rule the house, but to cover the house. Now, I know the Bible says rule, but how many knows you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say? Can't you? You can pull a verse here and make a doctrine. The problem is, it's not theologically sound. You have to interpret Scripture with the Scripture. And anything that's just, you know, if it's a pretext, you're not going to get much out of it anyway, right? Okay, listen. Darlene was talking about a while ago about, you know, we got to cover our men. We've got to cover our men. Us men have to cover our wives, and we need to protect them and pray for them and be there for them and love on them. And, you know, there are some men that are some of the rudest people I've ever seen. They might be nice to me, but they're not nice to their wives. They might be nice to other women, but they're not nice to their wives. Are you with me? Getting awful quiet in this church today. Amen. So what do we do? We realize, man, this stuff is building on the inside. So what do? We take the snake oil and we drink the snake oil thinking that we're going to cover up that pain. But listen, that pain has to be dealt with. That rage has to be dealt with. That meanness has to be dealt with. Have you ever seen a Christian with a mean streak? I know you have. You find somebody with a mean streak, and man, you have a tendency to, Jesus said, offenses will come. Mark it down. Offenses will come. Offenses will come. The question is, what will you do with the offense? How will you respond to the offense? Amen? Offenses are going to come. I never mean to offend somebody. Never. But it still happens. It still happens. Offenses are going to come. But the question is, how are you going to react and what are you going to do about it? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Offenses will come. You know what that means? Anybody in this auditorium that's over 6 months old has probably had opportunity for offense. Amen. We've all been there. Don't look so holy at me right now. Some of you are looking like, not me. Oh, come on. Jesus said offenses will come. Every one of us have a story to tell, right? Every one of us, amen. We got a story to tell, amen. And so let me just give you some coping mechanisms. Talk about the way we camouflage our hurts and our bitterness and our our rage and things, coping mechanisms. They provide temporary relief. They deceive us into thinking that we're healed when in fact we're only camouflaging the pain with work, alcohol, church, sex, or drugs. Thank you. Did you hear me? You cover it with all this stuff. Do you know you can camouflage your pain with church? If the only reason you come to church is to cover your pain and you're not getting delivered, you're not getting helped, you're not getting set free, you're not helping yourself at all. Well, I come to church because it feels good. Well, I like it when Josh plays that organ and then we get to dancing and jumping around. I like it when Dwayne jumps around like a bunny rabbit and praises God. You don't remember that, Dwayne, do you? Do y'all remember the Dwayne that used to jump around like a bunny rabbit up here on stage? Yeah, there's a few hands. Oh, I like it. I get my high during praise and worship. Listen, all you're doing is camouflaging the hurt, the rage, the bitterness, the hatred. So you can dope yourself up by going to church. And I'm going to tell you something. Some people go to church and they get so super spiritual. Say amen, Luke. Not because he's super spiritual, because he says that all the time. People get so super spiritual that you can't even talk to them. I remember on Sunday nights, we used to go down to Country Kitchen down here after church, and we'd sit around and talk. And there was one guy that liked to go with us, but all he wanted to do was talk shop, talk the Bible, talk Jesus. I just wanted to talk about how good the biscuits and gravy was. Y'all like that? Ever been like that? Been around somebody that they're just so spiritual that they're no earthly good? All they want to do is talk. There's a lot of people in church that just camouflage their bitterness by coming to church, and everybody thinks they're okay. And you're just taking the snake oil. Come on, folks. Shout amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with running to church every time you hurt. There's nothing wrong with being in church and receiving. But there's something that's wrong when you can't confront the thing that's pulling you down. Woo! I saw also, did I say work? Yeah. They camouflage their pain with work. Do you know any workaholics? You know why they work all the time? Trying to cover their pain. They don't want to face reality. They don't want to be able to. It's not always for the money. I know there's some people that work extra overtime and all that for the money, but some people just work because they're trying to hide the pain. Cover up the pain, camouflage the pain. This is good teaching today. This is good teaching. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'll say amen to my own notes. You'll never know what I said amen to, will you? Could it be possible that many of us have OD'd in one of those categories to cover our pain? Huh? So let me ask you this morning, what are you covering up? And you don't have to tell me, I don't want to know. But you need to know, what are you covering up today? Do you know why some people are so rude? Because they're covering something up. As Darlene said a while ago, do you know why some people are so hard on their wives? Because they're covering something up that's on the inside that needs to be fixed. Maybe it's an insecurity. Maybe it's a macho mentality. I don't know. But you know, we got to understand some of these things in here need to be uprooted. I'm not talking about just covered over. They need to be uprooted out of our lives once and for all. I'm trying to help you today before this thing kills you, before it breaks up your marriage, before it destroys your health, cause you to lose your job. There's been people lose their jobs because of stuff on the inside of them that's just been building and building and building over the years. Just raise your hand if this is helping anybody, okay? I'll see if I'm in the right place today. Okay, thank you. Thank you. If you didn't raise your hand, I still love you. Vengeance. Let's look at this vengeance for just a minute. Man, how many of those people like to get even with people, don't they? They like to say, oh, I think my Bible says vengeance is mine. And you know what? Darlene, I have quoted that scripture so many times, especially, and I'll say this unashamedly, especially since Mr. Trump has been running for president, there has been so much lawsuits and so much hatred spit out that how many knows that vengeance is mine? Can I hear an amen? Amen. I don't mean to show off my socks or anything like that, but that's a matching sock right there for the use of this one. I'm just saying. Be careful who you try to get even with. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now here's what vengeance is. This is the erroneous idea that hurting the other person will heal you. If I hurt the other person bad enough, then it's going to help me feel better. You really think so, huh? In reality, hurting me won't heal you. It just lowers you to the level of the perpetrator. Isn't that good? You just lowered yourself to the perpetrator when you think hurting me is going to help you. Now, because you decided you're going to hurt the other person, listen to this. You have forsaken the eligibility of God, of God's vindication, because he's not going to handle what you've already decided to handle yourself. Can I say that again? You have just forsaken the eligibility of God to get vindication because he's not going to handle what you've decided to take care of yourself. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm not going to rest until I get even with you? I'm going to get even with you whatever it takes. I'll get back to you. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes people don't even have to hurt you. Sometimes all they have to do is walk in the room. Have you ever watched people's countenance when certain people come into a room? I had somebody tell me one time that when Alex gets up here to talk, that they're afraid. They're afraid of Alex. Listen, what a big teddy bear we have here. Such a big teddy bear. But listen, some people just see somebody, and it's not intimidation. It's madness, hatred. Can't stand them. Are you with me? Okay, come on. It's okay to say amen in this church, all right? So all they got to do is walk in the room, and here comes up comes the guard. I'm not even going to look at them. I'm not even going to talk to them. I'm going to avoid them. Why? Because there's something in your heart. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe they did something to you. But how many here really wants to be Christ-like in your walk with God? You want to be Christ-like? How many knows Christ? Jesus forgave people that were nailing him to the cross. Amen. Somebody said, well, as soon as they ask me to forgive them, I'll forgive them. How many knows Jesus didn't wait for that? Huh? Jesus didn't wait until they said, forgive us, Lord, we've sinned. We nailed Jesus to the cross. He forgave them before they even thought about repenting. You want to be like Jesus? Learn to repent. Learn to let people go. Stop holding them in your gut and getting a sick feeling when you see them. Woo! Boy, sometimes there's nothing like an angry Christian. Because you expect more from a believer. You expect love, tenderness, compassion. Amen? You expect these things. And so when they respond the other way, man, Now the Lord says he wants us to give that stuff up by forgiving 7 times a day if they ask for repentance. But I just want to qualify that. Sometimes they don't even have to ask for repentance. You've got to make up your mind in your heart. I forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they did to me. Come on, somebody smile. Amen. 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 So God says, give it up. Well, I want to be mad. God says, give it up. I want to argue. We call it debate. I want to argue. No, God says, give it up. I don't want you to be mad. He says, be angry and sin not, but it's not at your brother or your sister. Amen? God wants you to give up mad. That may not be proper English, but that's the way it came out. God wants you to give up mad. You don't have a right to be mad all the time. Brother Dan Williams, is this okay? Good. How many know sometimes mad is all you got? Sometimes that's all you got left. It's kind of like the lady that said, he got the car and all I got is mad. He's 62 years old and he left me for some ding-a-ling that's 25 years old, riding around in a Mustang with the top down, going to the beach, dyeing his hair blonde and wearing grotesque Speedos. And all I got left is mad. They fired you and hired somebody that you trained 3 years ago. Now they got your job and all you've got left is mad. He got custody of the kids? Are you kidding me? That jerk, that guy got custody of the kids? You got to be kidding me. And all you have left is mad. And that's what this text is about. This is what we're preaching about today. It's about feeling justified to be angry. And I hope I'm helping you this day. It's not a Father's Day message, but it could be a Father's Day, Mother's Day, all day, every day. Amen? Holding on to rage because we think it gives us some kind of power. Oh, it may make you think you've got some kind of power, but I'll tell you what else it'll do. It'll make you sick. It will. It'll open the door to diseases. It'll make you so sick, it'll keep you from sleeping at night. It'll cause worry and depression, even make you suicidal. Amen? Am I helping anybody? I don't want to waste your time today. Am I helping anybody? Okay. Anybody feel like Max? Hurry up and get it over so I can go home. Luke 17:4. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? That's not coming from some weak-kneed milquetoast preacher. Now, the Bible says, listen to me, you have to forgive them. Did you hear me? The Bible says you have to forgive them. Can I be honest with you? I don't think I like that verse. Just because I preach it don't mean I have to like it, right? You know, there's some verses in the Bible that's even hard for me to swallow. And this one's tough, seven times. I mean, they know they're doing it over and over and over because they come back and repent. But then, you know, you have to forgive them like it never happened. That's the B-I-B-L-E that we read and live by. That's our standard for living, amen? So, you know, you have to forgive them, even if you don't like this verse. Now, don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me because I don't like it, but I will do it. I will do it. Amen? Okay, let's move along. Yeah, get off my property. I don't like you. I don't ever want to see you again. I better not see your face again. I'll smash your nose until it sticks out the back of your head. Don't you come around me. I don't like you one little bit. In fact, I don't like you. I'm going to get personalized plates. It says, I don't like you. I'm going to put a picture in the corner up here of you, picture of you in the license plate so everybody know who I'm talking about. In fact, I'm going to get personalized plates. And I came up with a personalized plate. I think I might be one or two letters long, wrong. But it says I-D-O-N-T-L-I-K-Q. I don't like you. Just because Jesus said it doesn't mean we have to like it, but we do have to do it, don't we? Amen. Sometimes we don't want to forgive. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we still look at people kind of cockeyed when they see us in Walmart, or we see them in another, you know, in a store or somewhere. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Cole, I've been there. There's been people leave this church, talk ugly about us, lie about us, spit on us. But you know what? You see them in Walmart and you think, ooh, let me find another aisle. I hope they didn't see me. Am I right? Anybody like that? So when Jesus said, seven times a day, the first thing the disciples said was, increase our faith. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like that too, don't you? Lord, I'm going to have a little more faith to forgive them seven times in one day. But Jesus wasn't referring to the count of seven times, nor was he in Matthew 18 where he says 70 times seven. In what did I say it was? Matthew 18, is it? Where he said, you know, you got to forgive 70 times 7, and then you speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be removed. This verse says, forgive them 7 times a day and speak to the sycamine tree, and it will be removed. Jesus isn't saying, keep little slash marks, and when you get up to 7, that's all they get. Bless God, you just went over 7. Woo, I don't have to forgive you anymore. Right? I think Jesus is saying, whether it's 70 times 7 or 7 times in a day, he's saying this should be a way of life for the believer. It's necessary if you want to live. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to learn to forgive, walk in forgiveness towards everyone. Amen? Now, I believe he's saying, you know what? Inhale. He's saying this is just like trying to get you know, necessary for living. You've got to inhale and exhale. Inhale, exhale. That's what Jesus is saying. When you take something in, you better get rid of it quickly. Don't let it settle in there, because it's like inhaling and exhaling. It's like breathing. If it comes in and stays in there, it's going to destroy. I mean, you can't live long if you don't exhale. So you breathe it in, you let it out. They say this, I let it out. I refuse to let it become a root of bitterness and cause me to be unproductive. I hope you all are getting something out of this today. That's the way it is in the natural. If you want to live, you got to breathe. It's the way it is in the spiritual. If you want to live successful Christian living, you're going to have to learn to forgive, not 7 times a day, not 70 times 7 a day, but as often as necessary. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, I just don't think I can do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not about you, cowboy. It's not about you getting everything you want and everything going like you want it to. It's like doing what Jesus said. Amen? Learn. Somebody says something, let it out. It's okay, Paul? Amen. Was it worth the 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive?
No.
Okay. At least you're honest. So what I get for asking. When I breathe in and take a deep breath, how many knows I cannot get anything else in there? Right? My lungs are full. But how many knows when I let it out, when I release it, I'm ready to breathe again. And so if I inhale what you give me, I can't get anything else inside of me but anger against you. And in order for me to be ready for what's next, I have to let it go. Exhale. Everybody say exhale. Exhale. You know what? You might have to say, Dad, I forgive you for leaving me and Mom when I was 7 years old. You might have to say, Mom, I forgive you for putting me up for adoption. You may have to say, I let it go, Dad. You didn't come to any of my ball games. You didn't come to any of my concerts. You didn't come to anything that I had in school, but I let it go. I know we're live, and I'm going to take a little bit of a chance by saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I love the transparency. I love the transparency, Brother Alex. And how many of those Christians are really good at hiding and masking and covering and camouflaging? But we need to be transparent. And I know sometimes transparency can get a preacher in trouble. But I got so mad at my dad one time. He came to my house, and he made some statements, and I got up from the table, and I said, Dad, you can leave right now, and don't ever come back again. I said, I don't want you coming to my house anymore. And I was very upset with him. He had done something that was not right, but, I mean, it was right in his eyes, I guess, but... It wasn't long before I felt conviction. That's my dad. You're supposed to honor your father. Even if they do something you don't approve of, you still honor your daddy, right? And I got a hold of him on the phone, and I said, Dad, you're welcome anytime. Feel free. Come back. Anytime you want to come back, I want to see you. And you know what? He did. He came back several times. He came to the church several times. Even stood up here and testified. And I don't know if... Okay. Now I'm acting like Biden. The Marine Corps kid. What's his name? Help me. Avery. Dad was here when Avery, you know, got his promotion, and Dad was here to congratulate him. So thank God. Don't shake your head, Lou. Pray for me. Just sit. Pray. Pray. You didn't know who I was talking about, did you? We have to forgive to survive. I want you to say that with me. We have to forgive to survive. Say it again. We have to forgive to survive. People will not be successful in their Christian walk with God that continue to harbor bitterness and hatred and junk on the inside of them. I don't care what your ex-wife did to you. I don't care what your ex-husband did to you. I don't care if your ex-wife said you weren't qualified to have custody of the children. I don't care if your ex-husband said that you don't deserve, you know, child support, whatever, you know, let it go. Anybody ever had problems with your exes? Don't raise your hand. I like that song. All my exes live in Texas. Yeah. Okay. Now listen, I'm about to wrap this up. If I hold that junk deep down inside of me, it limits my creativity that God wants to give me because I'm full of something else. I have to exhale it in order to take more in. You got to let it go. Amen? Can I tell you something? You're not worth me dying over. Right? You're not worth me getting headaches and sleepless nights. Now, I love you all. Listen, don't take this the wrong way. I love you, but I'm not going to lose a night's sleep because you don't like me. Come on. Because people cannot control us. We're not going to be controlled by people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, here's something else I learned, Brother Mark. The bigger you are. Got any big guys in here? Yeah, here's one. there's one. There's another one. The bigger, listen to this. The bigger you are, the quicker you have to exhale. Hello? Can't hold it as long as you used to because you're bigger now. There's more stuff in there compressing your lungs, right? And so the bigger you are, but listen, let's turn this around a little bit. The bigger man you are, the quicker you have to let it go. And the quicker you let it go, the bigger, in God's eyes, you become. It's pretty good, isn't it? Isn't that a good revelation? I'm what my doctor said, obese. Which means that if I hold my breath, I can't go up and down the swimming pool like I used to. I can't hold my breath as long as I used to. But at the same time, the bigger the man you are in God's sight, the quicker you're going to exhale and let it all out. I'm not going to hold on to it. I've held on to stuff before. Have you? Have you held on to stuff before? It doesn't do you or anybody else any good. You can't stay mad at somebody for 20 years and be a big person. Hello? You cannot be mad at somebody because it takes too much of your life. It takes too much of your time. It takes too much of your energy. You say, oh, I just dump it down in there and forget about it. No, you don't. Those roots are still in there. And we're coming to that part here in just a minute. The roots are coming. Okay, verse 6. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, by the way, do you know that a grain of mustard seed is smaller than a kernel of popcorn? It's much smaller. In fact, in a little bitty spoon, you can have all kinds of mustard seeds in there. So it's not the size of it, it's what you do with it. Amen. Your mustard seed faith is not because you're so great, but it's because I've learned how to plant my faith. I plant that seed of faith, amen? Or that mustard, that seed. Okay, where's we at? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, and it should obey you. Can you put my picture of the sycamine tree up on the wall, please? I want you to notice a couple things about this tree. Look how deep these roots go. These roots go way, way down. In fact, you know, you can cut off a limb. You can cut off a leaf. You can cut off a limb. You can cut off whatever, and it's not going to kill the tree. In fact, I was going to bring you a picture of a tree in my front yard that blew over. I guess it was sometime last year it blew over, and Dwayne came over and cut it all up. But he left about this much of the stump, and it's laying over on the side. You know what? It don't look like a stump. You know what it looks like? Looks like a tree. Looks like a bush. Because why? The roots are still connected. In fact, somebody told me a couple of days ago, if you don't take an axe and cut those roots off of that, it's going to go under your driveway and bust your driveway all up because it's still growing. See how important it is to get rid of the roots? You can cut the branches of that tree. You can cut that tree down. But as long as the roots are there, there's life in that tree. We're talking about the root system. Amen? I mean, most of the life is not above the tree. It's where? Down below the tree. Most of your life is not what we see. What's going on the inside of you? What's going on the inside of you? Your pain has worked so far down, and Jesus compares it to a sycamine tree that you need to cut out, uproot. Everybody say uproot. How many knows the tree's not the problem? Hello, the tree's not the problem. It's the root system. That's why we're talking about uprooting that junk that's on the inside of us. Use your faith to uproot that junk that's on the inside of you. You say, I don't have that kind of faith. Oh, yes, you do. If you had faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. And you know what? I think it took a little more than that for us to get born again. You had to have some faith to get born again, didn't you? To believe that Jesus was your Lord and Savior. Let me go just a little bit deeper. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verses 14 and 15. Follow peace. Actually, a better word is pursue peace. I checked several definitions. In fact, the Amplified says, continually pursue peace with all men. Everybody say all men. Good men, bad men, cute men, ugly men. One that's cheated on his wife, all men. One that's not so perfect, all men. Let's try this again. Pursue peace with all men, those that have talked about you, those that have run you down, those that don't like you, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, tape got stuck, didn't it? Springing up in you, trouble you, and thereby cause many to be defiled. Basically, what he's saying here is find a way to get along with everybody. Did you hear me? Don't sit on this side of the church and say, I could never get along with somebody on this side of the church. The Bible says, figure out a way to make it work. Maybe you can find something in common. Amen? Good preaching, Pastor. I've got to find a way to be at peace with you. I don't want to be your thorn in the flesh. I don't want to be your sore spot. Follow peace. Pursue peace with everyone. Well, that's a big statement, isn't it? Follow peace with all men. And then he says, without holiness, no man will see God. By the way, can I just talk about holiness for just a second? Because we were always taught that holiness was long dresses, no earrings. Now, most of you probably didn't come from this type of a church. But, Boomer, you would not have been able to play drums in my dad's church. Would he, Sister Dawn? You went to my dad's church, right, Dawn? Yeah. Because Dad made sure your hair didn't touch your ears. And you might think that's funny, but it kind of offended me a few times. Now, holiness is not a woman that just wears long dresses and refuses to wear slacks. Because I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time, you'll find people that are stuck in these religious traditional values, and they will be some of the most, say it again, mean people you'll ever meet. They're critical. They're judgmental. They're always comparing you with them. Yeah. Amen. And so holiness is not about your outward. You know what holiness is about? It's about progressively becoming more and more like Jesus on the inside. Amen. Now, when I got born again, my spirit man was brand new. But there was some sanctification that needed to take place. Because my old flesh had ruled for so many years. And yours does too. And that's why sanctification is the process of our flesh lining up with the spirit man. And can I tell you something? We'll probably never be totally sanctified. It's a process that takes a long time. Now, I've heard people say, well, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm glad you are, but I'm still working on me. And most of us, if we'll be honest, we'll still be working on ourselves. So holiness is where your spirit is clean. Your motives are clean. You're working on yourself. Now listen, if we don't get this thing fixed today, if you're just going to sit here and say, oh, good message, Pastor, but we don't take this in and we don't begin to practice this, I'm going to tell you something. We're not going very far as a church. We'll always be an immature group of people. And I don't want to be a pastor of a church that's always immature. We should be progressively going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen? God forgive us for having to keep teaching little baby messages all the time. We need to grow spiritually. It's time we get beyond the milk, amen? But we can't get beyond the milk until we get beyond ourselves and let some of this junk on the inside be uprooted. Woo! Okay. Anybody in a hurry to get out by noon? Let me see your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just Linda. Linda's the only one. Okay. It's okay, Linda. Just because you look holy on the outside, Chris Norman, doesn't mean you're holy on the inside. We've heard that all of our lives because we came from that type of traditional teaching that in order to be holy on the inside, you had to be holy on the outside. The problem with that is it becomes a work of the flesh. Hello? It becomes a work of the flesh, not of the spirit. Amen. And I want to tell you something, and it's like you said, Josh, some of the freakiest people I've ever met are those people that are holy on the outside. Amen? A root, now notice it said, a root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness will defile you. What are you saying, Pastor? We need to look at our own root system. Stop judging everybody else's root system. Just look at your own root system. What's going on the inside of you? What are you harboring? Your boss got onto you 5 years ago, and you're still carrying that around. Amen? God is saying we need holiness. Get rid of that root of bitterness. It makes you dirty. It defiles you. It's time to uproot. Look at your root system. Amen? I know I'm preaching kind of not a Pentecostal style today, but that's okay. I believe we're doing some teaching. Amen. Husbands need to change. Fathers need to change. Mamas need to change. Amen. Don't just cut the leaves. In other words, don't just get a haircut because that's not going to help you on the inside. Think, well, I'll cut the branches. That's not good enough. You got to uproot. Everybody say uproot. Uproot. Somebody say increase my faith. Come on, somebody shout, increase my faith. Stand to your feet with me. I'm going to just wait on the musicians for just a minute, okay? I want everybody to get involved in this. Let me tell you something. Faith always looks forward. Faith does not have a rear view mirror. Faith, that's why I said, increase my faith. If I'm going to go forward in God, I must have my faith increased. I have to stop looking what's behind me, looking at the hurt, looking at the accusations, and looking at the swords that have been trying to pierce me. I've got to keep looking forward. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Do you know, I don't want to say this. I don't hope it rains yesterday. There we go. I don't hope that it rains yesterday. Why? Because hope has nothing to do with yesterday. I can't say, well, I've got faith it's going to rain last Friday. Faith always looks forward. Hope always looks forward. Okay, you understand it, right? Faith always looks forward. We need to have a vision that looks forward, not backwards. Amen. Okay. Sometimes we have a hard time forgiving people because you know what they did. This is very important that you get this. Sometimes we have a hard time letting go because of what they did and not why they did it. You want to think about that for a minute? Pause and think about that. You don't know why. I don't know why. Why'd they do that? I don't understand why they did that. But when you, listen, you will be far less judgmental when you learn the why behind the what. Listen, you'll be far less judgmental when you learn the why behind the what. It doesn't justify it, but it helps you not to be so judgmental on somebody. Maybe they had a perception that you didn't have. Maybe they saw something in you you didn't even know you had. Maybe they thought you said something you really didn't say. I have been misquoted so many times in my ministry. Amen. So I'm challenging every one of us this morning. Let's grab a hold of those roots and let's pull them out. You say, Pastor, that sounds so simple. How do I do that? Well, you know, there's some ways to do that, but I think I'm just going to do it a way that we can physically see. So I want everybody to just put your hands on your stomach, okay? We're going to just do this the best way we can, just put, because it's on the inside, and I realize that this is a natural thing we're talking about right now, but we're dealing with a spiritual concept. I want you to think of some stuff that's on the inside of you. Maybe you're bitter at your wife. Maybe you're bitter at your husband. Maybe you struggle with bitterness. There's some families that just fight all the time. We need to grow up and let that stuff go. Everybody say, God's still working on me. Okay. So whatever it is, I mean, you can name it. You can call it out. But here's the way it comes out. It comes out by praising God in advance, in faith, for what he's about to do for you. We praise him in faith. And I want us to do that right now. I want us just to begin to think of the things that have been holding us back, not allowing us to exhale, causing us to be bloated and have indigestion and to have all this pain on the inside of us that we just can't shake out of our head. The reason you can't shake it out of your head is because it's rooted down on the inside of you. And the Bible says if we don't deal with it, it's going to defile us. It'll make us dirty. So close your eyes. I want you to put your hands on your stomach, and I'm not expecting you to scream it out at the top of your lungs like we're at some other church somewhere. I just want you to think about it for just a minute, and you can even say it under your breath, but at least say it. This it's got to go. Whatever it is, the jealousy, the bitterness, the hurt, it's got to be uprooted. And the Bible says not just uproot it, but that sycamine tree is going to be planted. And you think about this. If it's planted in the sea, it is no longer visible. It is underwater. It is gone. So all that jealousy, go in the name of Jesus. That bitterness, you go in the name of Jesus. That attitude of inferiority, you go in the name of Jesus. Those things that have been causing me not to breathe properly, you go in the name of Jesus. Hurt from the past, hurt from a spouse, hurt from a previous marriage. There it is right there. Somebody, a hurt from a previous marriage, you need to let it go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May have been your first wife or your second wife. But you need to let it go because that is causing you to be defiled. It's keeping you from walking in God's best. Let it go today. Uproot it. Uproot it by speaking it out your mouth and then praising God that you're set free from that. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, your children did you wrong. Your mother or father did you wrong. A family member sexually abused you. You've been emotionally abused. You're here today and you've been lied about. People, you think people don't understand you. That's another one right there that somebody needs to let go. Well, they just don't understand me. I'm different. I don't operate like everybody. Let it go. Let it go. In the name of Jesus. Here's another one. This is coming up out of my spirit, so just bear with me. They abuse me. They use me too much. They take advantage of my goodwill. Let it go. It's not worth it. I want you to be set free today. I want that root, I want those roots uprooted and cast into the sea and planted in the sea, and it'll stay there in the sea. So I know for a fact, I know this for a fact, but there may be others here today that your children have not done right by you. If you don't let that go, that's going to be a root of bitterness that's going to grow and continue to go into the ground and become stronger and stronger in you, and it will defile you. Let it go. Let it go. I know they did wrong. I know they didn't do it right. I know that they've lied about you. Come on, let it go. There's some things that keep us sick, keep us from resting. There's some things on the inside of us that will keep you mentally upset. Let it go. Let it go today. You say, Pastor, I've tried to let it go. By faith, increase my faith, Lord. I plant my faith today in your ability that thing be uprooted in me, and I will not even give it a second thought. Now, I know it's hard if it's your children. Just pray for them. Just pray for them. Somebody was overlooked on the job. Somebody else got the promotion. Somebody else got your job. You're not even working there anymore because somebody got your job. Let it go. This message is going to take us to a new level in Christ. And I realize there's not a lot of screaming and shouting going on, but this is a healing message. Are you with me? This is a healing message. Josh, can you join me up here, please? Just Josh only, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know they said bad things about you. I know they lied on you. I know they cheated you. Forgive. Forgive. Let it go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's a spirit of condemnation that's been troubling some of you today. Condemnation because you failed. You failed. And you're living with condemnation. Would you listen to your pastor for just keep your hand on your tummy? Keep your hand on your tummy. Because that stuff's coming out today. The scripture that Alex used a while ago is one of the most powerful scriptures that I know of when Christians fail. Because it says a just man, a Christian person, a believer may fail, but they will get back up again. We're not going to live in that failure, Cole. We're not going to live in that past, Cole. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old person is dead. Thank you, Father, for removing all this stuff from us today. God, help us to just jerk that junk out of us, that root of bitterness, that root of unforgiveness. Somebody here today is harboring some unforgiveness towards somebody that you love and respect. You need to let it go today. You need to let it go. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I know I've not always been your pastor, most of you, but somebody's been hurt by a pastor. If it's me, I say, I'm sorry I hurt you, but I have a feeling there's somebody here today that another pastor has hurt you, and you have had a hard time letting that go. Would you pull that out by the roots today? Would you pull it out by the roots today? If your daddy did you wrong, let it go. Pull it out by the roots. If your mama did you wrong, come on, let it go. It's not worth it. If you want to live, you have to inhale and exhale. Thank you, Father, for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, Lord. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. Now, would you just take a few moments and just begin to praise God? Praise God. Praise God that the vessel is clean. Praise God that the temple is clean. Praise God that those roots have been plucked up and no longer tormenting you. I don't remember. God, I don't even I can't remember. Because I let it go. I breathe in. I breathe out. I let it go. I know your wife probably didn't treat you right, but let it go. If you want your marriage to last, let it go. I know your husband didn't do you right, but if you want your marriage to succeed, you got to let it go. And let's get it right today. Let's get it right today. Let's get it right this morning. A client cheated you. Let it go. Somebody made you a promise. You thought you could trust them. And they didn't keep their word. And it has become a root on the inside of you. Come on, let it go. Let it go. Come on, church, let it go. Fitimo sampatico stolo boco brasindikilana caparobodose. Come on, Josh, can you sing us that song? I worship you.
I worship you.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
Oh, there's none like you.
There is none.
Come on, sing it, church. Man, I feel the presence of God in this place today. I feel the presence of God in here. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you
praise. Yes, Lord, I give you praise. You are my righteousness.
For you are my righteousness. Righteousness.